Hey guys, it's your girl AA here, and welcome to my podcast, Welcome to Brooklyn. So today is the first episode here, where I will just be talking about me, myself, AA. My government is Aaliyah Spellman, and I go by AA. You can follow me on Instagram at underscore I am Aaliyah. Underscore, that's underscore IIAMAALIYAH underscore. I do everything from beauty to just being bored and taking pictures. I am 29 years old. Yes, 29 years old. African American, Jamaican, Puerto Rican woman. I am 5'10, no kids, and I'm just straight out of Brooklyn, baby. I am a little ratchet. I am a little functional. I am a little mental. But overall, I have a good heart and I'm a humble person. So growing up in Brooklyn, it's been very hectic, very hard. You know, everybody likes swag, slang. You know, you gotta be popping. If you ain't popping, you ain't right. You gotta, you know, you're gonna get lost in the sauce, baby. And I'm just all around Brooklyn, from East Flatbush to Malbazin to dirty ass East New York to dirty ass Brownsville. Yes, I said dirty because they both dirty. And I give it to you raw, uncensored, and motherfucking real. They're dirty ass neighborhoods, some dirty ass niggas. Plain and simple. But I'd be all over Brooklyn. Just like that, I'd be all over Brooklyn. I sit here, I am tatted, I am tall, like I said, I'm 5'10", and I'm just gonna give you a little bit about me, my background on this episode, so you can just get familiar to who the fuck you're listening to. Straight up and down, I'm not ghetto, I'm not ratchet, I do like to spice things up with my vocabulary and use profanity, but I'm far from that in person. I'm just quiet. I love PS4, video games. I love to cook seafood, steak, you name it. But most importantly, let's just get it right into it. So I was born in Buffalo, New York. I was raised out there until I was 5, you feel me? I got shot in the mouth at the age of 5, and I witnessed my grandmother and my aunt get murdered in front of me. And, you know, God bless me. And I met my aunt and my grandmother on my father's side. My father was in jail at the time, and I didn't know at the time that he was aware of what just happened to me. And I woke up in the hospital. My teeth was like grinded together. You know, they put the little metal thing in. And I just remember my mom coming to the hospital just like, you know, crying. And I'm asking her where my little sister at. And I'm not going to really give out no names, only because this is personal and I don't want anybody to feel any type of way. And I'm not trying to have anybody sue me for disclaimers or anything like that. You feel me? So no names in this fucking shit right here. But back to it. So I got shot at the age of 5. I witnessed my grandmother and my aunt on my mother's side, you know, get shot. And everybody will want to know probably like, how did that happen? Well, my grandmother was a correctional officer, come to find out. And she had a husband who I used to call my father because I never really knew my real dad at that present time. And, you know, I used to call him daddy. And come to find out, he stole like $80,000. So, you know, back in the 90s, $80,000 was very, like, it was a lot of money back then. And come to find out, she stole it. And once he find out it was her, he set that ass up. And yes, you know, I could talk about this type of way because this is how I vent. This is how I speak. And this is how I feel about the situation. And when he found out, he pretty much shot her maybe like 8 times in the head before he turned the gun to me. And while he shot my aunt twice. And this all happened in a 2-door idle car. They got into an argument. All I think I know is he was just like, yo, I'm tired. I gotta still take, you know, my son to the football game, you know, practice, and, you know, I got people with me, like, you know, I still got to feed, you know, he's talking about me, so you got to feed me, you know, take my uncle, who I always thought was, like, my cousin, come find out he was my uncle, you know, to his football practice. So right when she was about to make that U-turn is when you hear this bang, 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 and bang, bang, and bang. And I'm just like lost. I'm done for, you know, until I woke up, I saw my blood. And, you know, it was just a sad moment. It was just like devastating. It was like, you know, something that I don't think a 5-year-old should ever witness, see, imagine. And, you know, it's bad enough to say, like, even back then, people was, you know, still shit was still going on, pretty much. Just say that shit was still going on. I sat here and was getting molested before 5. So I already knew what sex was. I already knew how to watch this is. By a certain age, and you would really think, like, okay, she says she's 5. How does she know what this is? I may not knew the words. I may not knew Ashley, like, this is how you do a hand job or this is how you do this. But I know now that I'm older, you know, I'm 29. Now I know what I was doing back then. And, you know, for me, I never really want to talk bad about my mom. But this is real shit. And, you know, this is shit that got to be heard. This is shit that people got to hear, because deep down inside, you never know what people go through in life, and you never know what their situation is. This is why you should never judge somebody, and you should never take their kindness for weakness, or, you know, the situation. And, you know, prior to me getting shot, like I said, you know, I was getting touched, you know, by my uncle, who I thought was my cousin, you know, for a long time. So, move forward, I got shot. I met my grandmother and my aunt. They came down from Brooklyn, BK, you already know, and they got me. And I've been living here ever since then. And growing up, it was OD hard. It was OD hard having a speech impediment. To this day, I have. It's OD hard to, you know, remembering being in a choir singing to not really being deaf tone, being not being able to really know how you sound unless you hear yourself speak and hear yourself talk and you think you sound totally different. So, you know, that's very hard at times. Also, you know, witnessing my grandmother and my aunt get murdered right in front of me, and also it's like the only people I know besides my uncle. It's like, that was hard. It's meeting 2 new people in the hospital, waking up, never met them day in your life. And then they just take you and say, here, you're living with me. And I do not regret it at all. I honestly want to say that I love, you know, my aunt to this day. She's my rock. You know, it's sad to say that my mom is not my rock. And she is well alive. You feel me? But shit just happens, you know. And this is life. And, you know, I did have to go to court in 1998 to testify and whatever the case may be. But I don't regret anything that happened to me. I don't wish it didn't happen to me. I don't wish that, you know, things was different, because it could have been worse off my life. You know, I probably wouldn't even made it till 29 if things didn't happen the way it happened. So, like I said, being in school, you know, being mentally this out of it, you know, in a whole new state. Now, I won't even say state because it happened in Poughkeepsie, New York, but in a whole new world, you feel me? A whole new everywhere. It just happened. And it's sad, you know, it's sad, but this is my life. And I want people to start hearing and, you know, like just hearing other people's stories, because sometimes you really don't know what's going on mentally inside a person's head. You know, mentally to this day, I suffer with depression. I suffer with bipolar depression at that. Anxiety. Like, I can't even go outside sometimes without shaking and feeling like something bad is going to happen. Also, you know, not having a close-knit family. So, you know, it means let's bring it back to the story at hand. You feel me? The story at hand. So the story at hand is, you know, like I said, growing up, it was just tough in school. You know, I always was very intelligent, very intellectual, very smart. I knew everything that I was doing as far as reading math. You know, I didn't need hook and phonics because of my speech and spelling, my speech spelling. But I'm so sorry, guys. My speech. So I'm just going to leave it at speech. Yes, as you can see, it's still there. So, you know, I did get into a lot of fights. And I don't think I got into fights because I wanted to. I think I got into a lot of fights because I didn't have a mom growing up. It was tough, you know, watching my aunt raise me and her two kids and not really have a man in her life. And if she did, we all knew because he waited. You know, that's a real strong black woman. A person that could have a man in her life and just wait. Not just introduce people to them and not really know if they're going to be there. And he was a good man as well. So, you know, growing up, I always knew I was different. I always knew that, you know, I wanted more. I wanted to be on my own since I was young. I wanted to be free of this society, free of living life the way so many people want us to be and so many people want us to view. So me saying that is because I live my life the way I want to live it. I don't do what I feel like I don't want to do. I don't say what other people want me to say. I'm not nobody robot. I'm not nobody gimmick. I'm not nobody No, I'm not nobody stupid dummy. I live my life. When I want to work, I work. When I want to quit, I quit. When I want to sit here and get money, I get money however means necessary. I ain't saying I break the law. And I'm not saying that I haven't broken the law previously. Who knows? But at the same time, growing up, it was just tough. It was just tough because I had everything I needed. I had everything I wanted. I had every game system you could think of. I had every good Christmas, every birthday. Even back in the 90s, we all know how parents used to come to the school and throw the parties, you know, because that's what we grew up on. You know, school parties, you know, Funtime USA, Coney. And it was pretty awesome. I had a good life. Fries, everything that happened prior to the shooting, you know. But after the shooting, I had somewhat of a good life. Things started going bad in my life when I hit 8 or 9. I'll say that only because my dad came along. And my dad wasn't ready to be a responsible parent. And when you have somebody that's been in jail, they feel like, you know, they wasn't free. They couldn't experience their teenage years because they was out. And would they have a whole child present and alive? Some people don't care. I'm not saying, you know, my father wasn't a good father. Because he was. Like I said, every Christmas, everything, I was lit. Didn't need nothing at all. You feel me? But at this present time, it was just a void in my heart, a void, you know, to this day, because a father can be present. And don't ever think your mom, your father, whoever raising you can always be present. But when a person is not mentally there, that's where things can go wrong in a child life. Mentally, we want to be loved. Emotionally, we want to feel a connection. You know, we want everything to be perfect for our parents. Yes, we lie, we kiss, you know, we do things that they don't like. But for as me, my dad wasn't that type of dad that showed love. He showed love by giving me money and buying me things. But every time I did good, it was like, okay, you're supposed to do the good. You're not, like, you don't get rewarded for doing good. I couldn't bring home no type of C or D on my report card. A's and B's is what he wanted, and that's what he got. I don't think I was living my life for me. I couldn't make mistakes on my homework. My parents would sit in the living room. My dad would sit all night smacking me in my face until I got it right, or until he wrote the motherfucking answer down on that paper and said, "You bringing this shit in tomorrow, because I don't got all night sitting here with your dumb ass waiting for you to get this shit right." That's how my parents was. I don't know if y'all had parents like that, but my parents was fucking well like that. We didn't stay here. Even though I had a nice house, a nice room, TV, Calvin Klein, Tommy Hilfiger, Tim's, Nikes, whatever I wanted, I had in my room. The little Gigapets when it came out, the Sock'em Pock'em, the Sega when it came out, every game for it when it came out, I had everything I wanted. I had a 7 o'clock curfew, 8 o'clock curfew. At 17, damn well, I had a 10 o'clock curfew at 17. So my parents were very strict. My dad was very, my aunt was more like, you know, you're getting older, live your life. But my dad was, he wasn't having that. But you would think having this life will have people sit here and think that they're setting me up to go to college and get some degree and I'll be set. Nah, homie, that is not happening. They set me up to get a job. They set me up to be independent. They set me up to rather have money than have an education. They set me up to sit here and prevail and succeed and get money than be smart. And I am smart. You know, I do everything on my own. Teach myself Spanish. I read multiple books. I sit here. I love learning. But I love learning what I want to learn. Do I need a degree to stay here and learn to be a doctor? No, because 9 times out of 10, all they do is give you test books that you got to pay $300-$400 for and motherfucking sit here where I could just go on Amazon, buy it for $100, read it, study it, master it, and learn everything a doctor learns. I may not have hands-on skills, but I would still know the information. I would still know everything the doctor know about the bones, about the immune system. I would know everything they would know if I put my mind to it. And that's what I'm doing. See, my parents didn't teach me about credit. They told me, oh, you need to get a credit card because I'm not paying your fucking bills because you're old enough. That's the type of time my parents was on. So they didn't teach me how to work on credit. They taught me how to use credit. See, that's the difference. And sometimes I feel like with African-American people, our parents don't, they teach us for now. Some, I'm not saying all. They teach us for the moment because that's how they learn. And this is my story, my message is just live your life. If you are a teenager, if you are a woman becoming of age, if you are a young male becoming a man, learn what you want to learn for you and do what you want to do to make you happy and succeed in life. You can't depend on anybody else to give you a blessing, to give you a okay. Because what they might like is what you may not like. And that's what I had to learn growing up. I was trying so hard to please somebody that didn't really care. My pops didn't really care if I got good grades. He didn't really give a fuck how good I look, how well I was put together. This nigga didn't have a heart to really know how to be a parent because his parents wasn't around. With that being said, my next part of my life, this is the most epic and crucial part of my life that a lot of people don't understand. I was in a mental hospital. A mental hospital for 4 years. Just because my parents did not want me. When I say parents, you know, that means more than one. So don't just because you hear me talk about my father. My grandmother did the best she can do, but I'm not hers. And that's what a lot of people get mistaken. They sit here and think just because they live with somebody that person have to do. That's not your mother. That's not your father. That's your grandparent, your aunt, whoever's raising you or whoever did raise you. Y'all have to y'all gotta call their phone and be like, yo, thank you. Like, you know, I'm blessed to have somebody like you that took me in, or whatever the case may be. Because there's so many people out there that don't have that opportunity, that don't have that chance. You feel me? Right? We talking about New York City. We talking about New York City alone. Brooklyn alone. There's a lot of young females, a lot of males that don't value their parents, that don't value life, because they're living for now. They're living for the moment. Everybody want to get rich fast, but how many people rather put in that work, get a 9-to-5 and really bust their ass for 15 years to see the big picture down the line? I could scam all day. I could hit licks all day. I could sell pussy all fucking day if I want to. But I'm not securing that bag for the future, because that's a now type thing. Scamming is for now. Selling tricks, pussy, that's for now. You're not doing anything for the future. If you're not stacking that bread, 9 times out of 10, ain't nobody really stacking that bread, because they know it's an easy come up. They could get it again. I could always get a lick again. I could always sit here and open my legs again. I could always sit here and go to a bank account every single day of the week if I want to. And know that shit's going to bust and hit. That's a now type of thing. Me being in a hospital for 4 years is because my parents didn't want me. That hurted me. It crippled me. It made me less of a person. It made me less value, because I didn't get the chance to have a normal life. And I'm not going to just blame my parents, because I gave them hell. Like I said, I was a good student. I couldn't bring home C's and D's. Or, you know, do certain shit. Couldn't go outside like I wanted to after a certain type of time. But it's okay. It's okay, because that's what they installed in me. I was in a mental hospital because my dad didn't want me. And yes, like I said, I had depression, I had bipolar, I had anxiety, I had all these other feelings and mental emotions that I couldn't understand. And I still, to this day, sometimes don't understand, because it's not something you realize. You know, you know you're different, but you just really don't see how different until you want to have a conversation with somebody, until you want to do certain things, and you just get so sad and depressed, or you just get so mad and angry, and you really don't understand why. And it's not like something could trigger it. Some people know their triggers. I know some of mine. Sometimes some shit don't just have triggers. It's just a bam. And it hits you, and it's real. And my podcast is all about being real and being true to who you are. If you don't get anything out this fucking podcast right here, I tell you one thing. You're going to get confidence, and you're going to get reassurance, and you're going to get self-esteem by listening to my podcast. Because we talk about everything. We're going to keep key. We're going to laugh. But I want you to understand, life is not what you may always want it to be. Because even though you may have a plan, the man upstairs might not have that same plan for you. He may not want you to sit here and do a 9-to-5. He might want you to sit in jail for 2 years to get your shit together, to really realize what you're worth. It takes people to sit in jail. It takes people to get shot every sometimes. And people don't want to hear that, because they're not open. They're not awoke to realize that some people, everybody's not the same. So me being in the mental hospital for 4 years is because my parents didn't want me. You know, that's kind of fucked up. And it's fucked up because you got so many kids like me. You got so many parents, I say so many kids that was my age, or so many people that was me during, you know, that time. And it's sad because people don't understand that, you know, everybody have choices sometimes. Like, my parents had a choice. My mom had a choice to fucking swallow me if she wanted to. She didn't have to stay here and keep me. She could have swallowed me. Told my father, bust all her face. Let me swallow that shit. If she didn't want kids. If she didn't want to take that responsibility to sit here and have somebody like me. You feel me? Or my brothers and sisters. It's 8 of us. 8 of us. So just imagine what we all went through. I'm not saying we all, because I'm going to just speak on certain things down the line that I'm going to get to. But, you know, I didn't have my mom. Let me just say this. I didn't have my mom growing up. I didn't have a mother figure growing up. And the mother figure I had was my aunt and my grandmother. And they're two different people. And I will explain to you later those two type of different people. So I was in a mental hospital for 4 years. And I say this because this is a value crucial time in my life where I had people that didn't even know who I was that told me I am somebody. Told me, why are you here? You're so smart. You're so brilliant. Why are you here? And I'm looking at them with the dumb, stupid face because I'm on medication. I'm like fucked up in the head. I'm like cursing them out half of the time because I really didn't want to be in there. So, you know, when you're a kid, you know, I'm going to go home. Get me the fuck up out of here. You wilding, fighting. You get a needle in your butt and you pass out. And you wake up, act like shit didn't happen. You go into that day room. They put on a fucking movie with all those little other badass kids right along with me. But see, I say this is a crucial moment because there's been so many times I could have been in jail at a young age. Picking up knives, trying to cut my cousins with it. Like, so doing so much shit because so many people did shit to me. And at that time, I'm a kid, I'm thinking that was okay. That was, you know, I just always thought that was okay. So me being in the mental hospital, it taught me. It taught me how to control me, my inner demons. It taught me how to be a better person. After the mental hospital for 4 years, I went to a group home. In this group home, I learned how to cook. I learned how to do more shit than my own parents taught me. And I didn't leave this group home till I was like 15, 16. So this is like from 2010. I was born, you know, a little young, you know, 1990. But from 2010, from 2000, because I was 10 years old in 2000, all the way till 2005. My life was spent in a hospital, learning educational, everything I learned, reading all these books was in there, learning how to pretty much read people and understand, like, okay, this person is bipolar, this person is depressed, all right, this person is a little off, might be a little normal, because I know I'm normal. But it's not like how this person is. All right. This person is a little thot. All right. What? How many boys you saw thot? All right. Not to be with you. All right. You're cute, but you're not on my level. I want to go home. I'm not getting sidetracked because that's what the government always wants people to get. Sidetracked. They don't want you to see the bigger picture. I wanted to go home. Even though I hated home because I never felt loved there. I wanted to be there because I know those is people that I know I could just be comfortable. Even though I hated it, I just know I was going to be comfortable. But I went to the group home, learned how to cook, learned how to do mad shit that I knew I always wanted to do. Like, since I said, when I was little, I was learning how to put dishes away, fake washing dishes with stains in them still. But I was, like, young. You know, I just wanted always to be independent and make people proud of me and say that, you know what, they don't need me for anything. It's just like I don't need them for anything. That's what I really wanted. And at 17, you know, I went back to my, no, 16. Let me not, I skipped. 16, I went to live with my grandma. And things wasn't working out. I was in high school. I was a sophomore, you know. Sophomore. I went to Camden High School with my father. He didn't really want me still. You know, he wanted a whole new family, pretty much, a whole new life. He didn't really give a fuck about his own kids. And I'm not his only child. So he didn't really care. But to see a man that buys you everything you ask for, as long as I got good grades, but tell me to my face I should have ended your life. I should have finished what the next man started. That's the most hurtful thing I think any parent can say, knowing what their child has been through. And I don't fuck with my father to this day. He may fuck with my other siblings, but I don't fuck with my father to this day. You know? And like I said, I wasn't always perfect. You know, I threatened my grandma. I told her I would stab her. My own grandma that took me in told I would stab her. You know? When I got into it with her, I told her I would kill her. We all say certain things. We all say hurtful shit at the heat of the moment. But for people to really think that people is fucked up, people is sad, they're not. You just don't know what a person been through. You don't know what a person, how a person receive information. And, you know, when I went to my dream mom, you know, she sent me back with my father because he had custody of me. You know, I didn't really want to be there. And, you know, I opened up a case. Brooklyn, New York called it ACS. New Jersey called it DIFAS. I opened up a DIFAS case. You know, my dad was mentally abusing me, physically abusing me. One thing he never did was sexually abuse me. But he definitely mentally and physically abused me. You know, trying to turn everybody against me, my own stepmom, stepsister, everybody. And I'm not mad. I was never mad that he did that. Only thing I wanted to know was why. I'm your blood. Why would you do that? And he don't understand what part that plays growing up as a woman. He don't understand what part that plays as, even if, you know, my brother, he don't know what parts that plays when people is not present or when they present and they just don't want to be around you. So I move in with my grandmother, you know, I mean my father called DIFAS. I moved in with my aunt at 17. Me and her got into it OD big, only because I was going to Jefferson High School in Brooklyn, Thomas Jefferson, when they started the PATH, the WATCH, the Civil Rights, the FDNY. So I was one of, like, you know, like the second year, the second group or the third group. I don't know. I was one of them type of motherfuckers. And I had a best friend. I'm not going to say her name, but she was my heart, my soul. And that's when I knew I could love other people more than my own parents could ever love me. But I know deep down inside, I love myself. I love myself. And I know that people out there, they always want that worth. They always want to know that they're loved or they're wanted. I don't need people to want me. I don't need people to love me. I'd rather die in this world knowing that I had haters, or knowing that I had people who didn't like me, knowing that I didn't change everybody. I couldn't touch everybody's hearts the way I want to. And I'm okay with that. I know I'm not the baddest looking bitch. I know I'm not the type of bitch either. But I don't want to be none of that. I'd rather just give it to you raw, uncensored, and just give it to you how I am giving it to you now. Because if you don't got people like this in your life, if you don't got friends who could sit here to give it to you straight and hurt your feelings while they do it, then you're not going to sit here and understand what it is to really have a backbone in life. So I sit here and I tell everybody my story only because I want to inspire them. I want them to know, no matter what you go through, you are somebody. You're love. You're going to have haters because they're not going to be you. You're the gifted one. I always tell people when they stay here and they go through so much shit in life, don't ever take it as you want to end your life. Because I've been suicidal before. You know, I never tried it, but I always had suicidal thoughts. I don't want people to feel like they're not worthy of living because of what they go through in life. I want people to understand that it's going to be mad people out there who are going to try to play you like you stupid, rob you for your money. It's going to be people you really love that do this. It's going to be people that really yearn for you, that's going to hurt you the most. And in those times, you got to stand above. Not fight petty with petty, but stand above and let them know everything you do is genuine, baby. I'm going to be blessed regardless. I have God. I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to be a star regardless. I don't need to be rich right now because I'm living. I'm content with my happiness. I don't need a man to make me feel happy. I don't need a man to make me feel loved because I know my worth and I know who I am as a person. I don't need kids to want to love somebody else. I don't need kids to want to love me because I'm missing love. That's what's wrong with Brooklyn. That's what's wrong with New York City. That's what's wrong with America today. But it's going to start with us, the minority, the urban community, because we're the ones who are most influenced by these problems that people never want to talk about, that people never want to discuss. We could discuss it with our friends, but when our friends use it against us, we want to fight. We ready to get them a whole new face, like we don't even notice people. That's the problem I be having. Birds of a feather flock together. If you're friends with somebody, it's 9 times out of 10 y'all are similar and y'all are different. But let it be a natural bond. Let it be something real. And I know I'm getting off topic and I do apologize, guys. But this is for y'all to really understand that some people in life just want to be heard. And it's okay to listen to people. Because you never know when the people needs help. If you don't listen. At 17, I left my crib. I left my crib after me and my aunt almost got into a fist fight, all because I wanted to bring my BFF, the person I loved, the person that I wanted to take care of, because I felt like their situation was worse than mine. That's when I knew I just wanted to help people. When I have to go against my own aunt, the person that I love dearly, the person that raised me 100% proper, and to this day we talk on the phone, you know, I'm here all the way for her, and vice versa. We both Aries, you know, I'm April 17th, she's April 13th, and we see I, you know, and we do class. I won't call her my best friend because that's not my best friend, that's my aunt. I don't have best friends with family. No, that's what I got other people for. That's what I got my life for, to have my own friends and to start my own family. So, you know, being in a group home at 17, 18, you know, I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to live by other people's rules. I went to the shelter, started selling tricks. So the thing here, I went to the shelter, met bitches that told me, listen, you're pretty. You're bad. You may not have an ass, you know, you may not, but you're bad though. I see the way niggas look at you every day. You better get this money. What you mean get money, sis? Like, what? You a hoe? You a little, like, you a skeezer? No, bitch, I got a sponsor. Oh, you got a sponsor? What's that? I'm like, what's that? I like a sugar daddy, but some of them be my age and they just be paying me for and I got open to it. I got open to that life because it was fast, easy money. And I'm not proud of it, but this is my truth. This is my story. I want y'all to understand, y'all don't have to walk the same path. Some people rather be trippers and drug dealers. You got some that just want to sell the puss, lay on their back, be comfy. But see, I was smart. And I knew I couldn't do that because I didn't want to hurt people. I didn't want people to even try to hurt me. And I don't want people to sit here and mind you, we in Brooklyn. This is like, you know, early 2000s, niggas still shooting, killing, everybody want to be a pimp. You know, I didn't want that. I didn't want to sit here and feel scared of a man that I supposed to love one day or I supposed to, that I might see myself with one day. And I didn't want no man ever looking at me like a hoe, a prostitute, a trick. Because I was never that. When they told me what they do, I had to get into it. Yes, I had to finesse. Yes, I had invite niggas over. And I made up every game, every lie I could tell you. I made it up because I wanted that money. I didn't see, oh, he got a big dick. Oh, he got a nice car. Oh, he look good. Oh, he's fat. Oh, my God. 15 minutes with this nigga? That never came to my mind. It was that money. When I saw what my friends was doing, and I'm sitting here saying, I could do that way better because I need that money. But I don't want to fuck niggas. I'm not going to lie and say I haven't fucked niggas. The cute ones, the young ones, you'd be surprised. I buy pussy. I did that because I wanted to get off. I wanted to enjoy it. I wanted to fuck the nigga. And sometimes I told him, keep the money. Just because I'm not a hoe. You could keep that. I like what I see. I need to get off. Like, I want what you want. I have built friendships off of that. But I lost it in 2010 when I got arrested. And I even sit here and do the crime to get arrested. I have a whole felony and I didn't even do the crime. This is why living in New York City in Brooklyn, shit is real out here. How can you get a whole felony and didn't do the whole fucking crime? I need this story to be heard, to be understood, like how we as society living, paying bills, and people can still get caught up in something that they don't have no business getting caught up in. I sat here, got a whole felony for being accused of giving somebody a $1.50. I was in the process of becoming a home health aide at 18. 18 turning 19. I already knew I wanted to help people. Like I said, let me just do this little home up fake, get my foot in the door. Then I might do security, you know, learn different trades. And because I wanted to open up my own business, I wanted to open up a group home or a catering business. I love to cook. And I still am. It's not I want.